We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's going on, everybody? We're back on Keeping It Real. It is football season, and I'm loving it. I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre. I got my special guest host, former Auburn Tiger great Junior Rosegreen. What's going on, Junior?
What's going on, J-Mac?
Man, not too much, not too much. As we were speaking, you know, off the air, the big story this weekend was the debut of the number one overall pick, Cam Newton. What is your assessment on from what you saw from Cam so far this early? I mean, I know he came in, made some big plays with his arm, and was showing that he's probably going to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. What do you say?
I think Cam Newton's going to be a great NFL quarterback because he got a great coach, and he got a former NFL Super Bowl coach that played linebacker. So, therefore, the coach, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He knows talent. He knows what he needs to help Cam be very productive in the NFL. And not only that, he's going to help out the running game. They can't stack the box because he got an arm. And if nobody's open, he can get some yak yards with his feet.
Ron Mac is on the line. What's going on, Ron Mac?
Oh, nothing much. How y'all doing?
Doing all right here on Keeping It Real. I have to ask you, what do you think about the African-American quarterback in Super Cam, Cam Newton, from his NFL debut? Came out looking sweet in the number one and did some big things in his short time in the game. What do you say, man, so far? What's your assessment of him? And you know, kind of give me your breakdown of what you saw the time he was in the game.
Well, I feel like Cam Newton is going to be the best option for that team. I believe that the fan base has really rallied behind him, and everybody is ready to turn that page and get on the Cam train. He was impressive. I think they've kind of told him not to run. I really believe that they're telling him not to unleash everything right now. So they're going to focus, and you probably won't see him run in the preseason because they're going to try to just, you know, let him throw the ball and get acclimated to the speed of the game and the passing game. So I was impressed. I was also impressed by a few other people who weren't African American, and I was disappointed in a couple of the black quarterbacks. Tavares Jackson was highly unimpressive.
Terrible.
Donovan McNabb didn't look good, even though it was a short period of time. But on the other hand, I think Jason Campbell played okay. Vince Young is going to look good with the Eagles. He's really because Michael Vick, he looked excellent, and he's going to get hurt, though, this season. Something's going to happen. He's going to miss a game or two because he misses a game or two every year, and Vince Young is going to step in, and he's going to help that team continue to build the momentum because they are a legit Super Bowl contender. My biggest thing that I saw this week, and I think I've told you on the phone, in 2 to 3 years, the New England Patriots will be trading Tom Brady because Ryan Mallett is going to make people look stupid for not drafting him.
Absolutely. And I agree. I wouldn't say 2 to 3. I say somewhere like a four years. But with that being said, I mean, he came out and had a tremendous performance. And I don't know what these scouts and these GMs or whatever may have happened with Ryan Mallett. I don't know. I can't necessarily say what happened. But from what I saw and from his time at Arkansas, there's no way I don't pick him in the first round, say a team like Seattle. There's no way I pass up Ryan Mallett when I don't know what I have. I mean, I'm sure they knew they weren't going to have Hasselbeck anymore. They had Charlie Whitehurst. Maybe they knew they were going to trade for Shavar Jackson or whatnot, but a team like Seattle has to be kicking themselves right now and looking at a quarterback like Ryan Mallett do the things that he's done. I mean, their offense in Seattle would have been perfect for him, and I just don't see how a player of that caliber, that size, that arm strength, that's came from a pro-style offense would be passed up. I mean, regardless of what happened. Now, maybe, they say he may have failed a drug test, he may have an attitude, whatever it may be. I think whatever it was could have been fixed because he's too much of a talent to let slide to, the third round. I mean, he's a great player. And he did in the SEC year in, year out with the pro style coach and Bobby Petrino. I mean, he had it all. And I just don't see how they would pass him up and he would slide all the way down to the third round to the New England Patriots. And that's why I give Belichick, the utmost respect because he doesn't care. I mean, you could be a Haysworth who damn near quit on his team. You could be a Randy Moss who they said was lazy and he had nothing left in him. You could be a Corey Dillon who was supposed to be a cancer to a team, and he could get you there and get you motivated to play football. And that's what I think is going to, like you said, Ron, Matt, they're going to look stupid. And I say 4 years. You say 2 to 3. I say in a good 4 years, teams going to be looking back, kicking themselves like, damn, how did we let this franchise-type quarterback slide to the third round just because of a drug test or a bad attitude or whatever they may say. With his talent, he's, in my eyes, a top 15 pick easy. Even Minnesota, picking Christian Ponder where they picked him, that could have been easily Ryan Mallett there starting and helping that team, prevail to be a Super Bowl champion with the players they already have around him. Rose Green, what do you think about Ryan Mallett? I was talking for a while, and I thought Mr. Rose Green and Mr. Ron Matt would have something to say about Mr. Mallett after I talked for about 5 minutes straight, but they all got mute on me. So, Mr. Junior Rose Green, what do you have to say about Ryan Mallett and a coach like Belichick?
I would love to play for Bill Belichick because he's the type of guy that gives you an opportunity to prove to all the people that passed you up that you belong in the NFL. And people always bite themselves in the butt because they always miss out on the great players. Look at Kurt Warner. They passed him up. He went to Arena League, balled out, came to the NFL on a Super Bowl. So at the end of the day, I don't know who's in the scouting department, but they need to be fired because they don't know how to scout talent, man. They go on this bull crap. Oh, 40 times. I ain't never know a 40 win you any ball games. It's either you're a gamer or you're not a gamer. And Ryan Mallett is a gamer. And on my draft board, I had Cam, then I had Ryan Mallett, number 2.
Absolutely. And that's how I had it. Because, like I said, playing in the conference that he played in and the offense that he played in, I mean, a lot of times they want to say, okay, Blaine Gabbert. Now, honestly, I knew who Blaine Gabbert was somewhat, but
and Blaine Gabbert, he is the fourth best quarterback because the quarterback from Washington, he's a winner, and I had him as the third.
Absolutely,
I didn't even have Blaine. I had Andy Dalton, number four, and then. Than him, because he's a winner.
Well, what Ryan Mallett has that neither one of those guys have is, you know, Ryan Mallett is supposedly not a good leader. One, for two, he may have had an issue with a drug test, and in the eyes of an NFL franchise, you cannot have your quarterback, the leader of your team, the highest paid person on your roster, not be accountable. That is part of the reason why Vince Young is a backup now and not starting in the league. So,
yeah, I can say that, but you can. I mean, unless there were the Tennessee knew what they had in the Vince Young, and they had been around him. So I think it's a little different situation because. At Arkansas, it could have been he say, she say, as far as what Ryan Mallett was doing and how he was, because they never have been around him for, you know, a period of time to be able to check his character. I mean, they could ask a million people, and somebody could say, oh, well, he does this, or he does that, or he acts like this, or he acts like that. But I think you just have to take a chance on somebody of his caliber.
Yeah, how many times do teams take chances like Jamarcus Russell? You know,
Oakland took a chance
on him. But I think when you're speaking of this NFL draft and you have somebody with the upside of a Ryan Mallett or Jamarcus Russell, Cam Newton, you have to take that chance because what if they turn out to be the Ryan Mallett that we saw, you know, this past weekend? I mean, you have to take that chance or it's going to set your franchise back. Either way it goes, I think you have to take a chance. Either it's going to help the franchise for the utmost or it's going to set the franchise back. But I think that you have to take the chance when it comes to a franchise quarterback because the only good teams are the teams with the good quarterbacks. I mean, for the most part, Baltimore Ravens won with a great defense back in in the early 2000s with Trent Dilfer being the quarterback. But other than that, from your Aaron Rodgers to your Peyton Mannings to your Tom Brady's to your Brett Favre's to the top quarterbacks in the league at the time usually have the best teams. So I think the days of not having that franchise type quarterback and actually winning a Super Bowl are pretty much over. I think the teams that win the Super Bowl are always going to have the top tier quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I think anytime you have a chance to pick a Jamarcus Russell who threw for however many yards, that was 6'6", 6'7", with the one of the best arms, you know, Mel Kiper said he's ever seen, or Ryan Mallett who's thrown for that many yards in the SEC. I mean, you have to take the chance on them to be that franchise quarterback to lead your team.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's a lot of factors into it, and maybe we're just jumping the gun. You got to think, Ryan Mallett was playing against guys who probably will not be in the league, you know what I'm saying? So in game two or game three, if he goes against, you know, the first string and he is, you know, still sets the world on fire, then we'll come back and we can have this talk. But as of right now, he was playing against guys who probably won't even make the roster. So,
yeah. I mean, that is true. That is true. But he's still there. And that's his first time too, though. So we can go both ways. He's only going to get better. He's only going to get more comfortable in the offense. I mean, the guys he was throwing to probably not going to be playing in the NFL as well. So we can kind of look at it both ways. I mean, imagine if he was throwing to Ocho Cinco and Wes Welker. How much better would he be? So, I mean, he can go both ways, but I just think he's going to be that kind of quarterback that is going to, you know, lead a team and do big things.
J-Mac, what's going on up down there at Auburn, man, with them not coming out of camp with a quarterback and, you know, they're hanging, no one knows who the starter is going to be, man.
They want to surprise somebody.
Give us the inside information, J-Mac.
Quite honestly, I think it's going to be Barrett Trotter. I just think, you know, he's been there. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. He was a backup to Cam. He was in preparation, you know, every day last year. And I think if they were going to name somebody else the starter, they would have done it. So I'm going to go with Barrett Trotter. I think he's the best man for the job as of right now, just knowing the offense.
They're going to go with the rookie.
And having repetition in the offense because, you got to think about it. Last year, if you're the second quarterback, the third quarterback really doesn't get reps in practice. So if you're the second quarterback, he's been getting reps from that last spring when he thought he was going to be the starter before Supercam came in. He was getting reps as a starter. All last year, he was getting reps through practice as a backup. Now it's another spring, he was reps as a starter. Now we're back to this fall camp. So he's been in the offense about two full years, and I just think he knows the offense the best. I think he's accurate, and with what we're working with right now, I just feel that he's going to be a game manager, somewhat like a Chris Todd with a better arm and a little more mobility, and I think he will help us win games because he won't turn the ball over.
I think that the longer this drags out, the more this competition looks like it's going to go to the freshmen. They are in a position.
The freshmen will win it.
They're in a position to where everybody is expecting Auburn to be competitive in 2012 and 2013. And the only way you can be competitive in those years
go with the freshmen
is if you have an experienced quarterback. And if it's close, like I'm a high school basketball coach, and if I got an 11th grader or a 12th grader and I got a 9th grader, and I tell them, if it's close, I'm going to go with the younger. I'm going to roll with the one who's going to be here for the longest time. So the longer this drags out, being the fact that he is the better athlete of the three people, he's the better athlete.
Okay.
The longer it plays out, I think he has a chance.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I understand that. Ron Mack, superstar basketball player. Junior Rose Green, superstar football player. You know, but being in the huddle with the young quarterback, is a little different than being in a huddle with a quarterback who may not be that athletic, but knows what he's doing.
For example, through
my years at Auburn, we had the future and Jason Campbell. Now, when Jason Campbell first got there, he had his big lips poking out, looking crazy, like he didn't know what to do. All right. So he get in that game and he's looking in the huddle like he don't know what to do. And you have Daniel Cobb, where he's wild. You don't know where the ball's gonna go. But he's gonna call that play in confidence and he's gonna throw that rock. Regardless, if they catch it or we catch it, he's gonna throw that rock. And it was a lot of controversy at the time. And I do think if they would have groomed Jason Campbell, he would have been that much better at Auburn. But at the time, you had a coach in Noel Mazzoni looking at it like, look, I got this guy in Daniel Cobb who knows what's going on. I'm going to groom Jason Campbell. I'm not going to throw him out there just because he knows a little bit what's going on. I'm not going to just throw him out there to make him look completely like doo-doo. So I feel it's the same kind of situation where you have a Barrett Trotter, but the thing is, Barrett Trotter is probably a very accurate quarterback who can get the job done, who also has 2 years left. You know,
I gotta say this, and then I'm gonna let Rose Green talk. When you're talking about the year that you're talking about is probably 2002, right?
2002.
When no, we played, yes, 2002.
2002. Yeah. When y'all, I think, USC came.
We went to USC.
All right. Here we go. Let me tell you something. If you all had played Jason Campbell in 2002, the year that you all were supposed to have in 2003, when everybody was all
right
number one, number two in the country, all would have been that team if you had not played Daniel Cobb. If you had played Jason Campbell and
he would have been ready for that big game.
He would have been ready
one.
For 03
yes,
instead of 04.
What happened in 04 makes complete sense.
What happened in 04 was a reflection of 03, Jason Campbell's season learning how to play the position. And if Auburn goes with the young guys this year, they will set themselves up to have a big year in 2012 and 2013.
Back to what you got. I understand what you're saying, but I think
I'm with
a huge
you on
part
that,
of
Ron
that,
Mac,
I think
100% no, Ron Mac.
No. What? I think you. I understand, and that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. And I think now that Jason Campbell's been in the NFL for a while, changing offensive coordinators is not is like whatever. Like now, because he's been through so many offenses, the concepts of one offense is probably the same as another or whatnot. But when he came in, we had Noel Mazzone, he redshirted. His first year in 2001, he played a little bit off and on, whatever. In 2002, Petrino came in, whole new offense. Daniel Cobb had the grasp of Petrino's offense better. Now, not to say that Jason Campbell wasn't a better quarterback. He had the grasp of the offense better. So Petrino felt comfortable. This is Petrino now. This is Bobby Petrino. He knows quarterback. He felt more comfortable with a Daniel Cobb in there, putting Jason Campbell in there, working him in, letting him learn, working him in, letting him learn. So that's why he wasn't playing the whole time.
Yeah,
whereas in 2003, if Petrino was there in 2003, Jason would have had a whole spring by himself, along with spot duty in 2002. So he had spot duty in 2002, would have had the full spring in 2003 to be prepared for that fall, which would have been the season we were supposed to, we were ranked high and everything else. But Petrino leaves, we have Hugh Nall. Jason Campbell's back to 2001. Jason Campbell, he's at square one.
And I understand that, but when you said the thing about Petrino, you have to also look at who you are talking about. When Petrino came to Auburn, he came to Auburn looking forward to a head coaching job.
Thank you.
So he had to play the guy who was going to help him win, not the guy who was going to help the program. He was trying to audition for jobs, man. But if you all had a play Jason Campbell that year when y'all went out there and everybody went to cramping up in California, if y'all had played Jason Campbell that year, then that 2003 team that I can't watch USC just mollywop us with Reggie Bush and Matt Liner had his coming out party, and then I went to the game at Georgia Tech and we lost to a dude that was fresh out of high school, man. His name was the quarterback.
Reggie Ball.
But what I failed to realize is. Regardless of that situation, it hindered Jason Campbell tremendously with Hugh Nall being offense coordinator. Because you see how, and yeah, he learned through that year, but there's no way a quarterback goes from growing pains to a first round quarterback. He was always a quarterback. He just didn't have the proper offensive system until his senior year. Because in 2003, if Petrino stays, it's the same thing as 2004. But he didn't have that offensive guru mind of quarterback coach / offensive coordinator to develop him throughout his years. So I think he would have been better in 2000. I mean, he would have been ready in 2003, but that's not to say he would have been the way he was in 2004, because in 2004, Al Borges came in one spring and put a whole new offense in, that goes to show how much coaching can do for a quarterback. Because I really think that Al Borges helped Ronnie Brown be the second overall pick by, you know, implementing him in the offense. Because he wasn't, it was always Cadillac, 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 then Ronnie, you go in. It was never Ronnie, 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 then Cadillac go in. So I think the way Al Borges came in, used Ronnie Brown, used all his receivers, used Cadillac, and helped Jason Campbell, I think that developed Jason Campbell more, say, than, yeah, it helped in 2003 to play. But, I mean, our 2003 offense was, hey, man, if you didn't get in the Cadillac, Jason, you better throw me that bit. You know what I mean? Pretty much. So I'm sure he wasn't – he learned, he got growing pains in 2003, but he didn't develop any kind of offensive philosophy in the year 2003. It's pretty much my the way I think about it. But I think it did help him for 2004. But I just think with Al Borges being there, that helped – him so much because he, you know, he was that great of a coach in my eyes. And I think if he would have had Petrino for a full 2 years, it would have helped him that much more as well. So going back to the quarterback race now, yeah, Kyle Frazier, he's been there too. You know, he's been there all summer. He knows the offense, but I just feel that Chizik and Malzahn know if they want to be competitive, they want to be competitive and not go from 14-0 to 4 and whatever, they got to have somebody that knows what they're doing, can, you know, have the tempo of the offense, have the pace of the offense, and know what they're doing.
But
that's
but
not to say. That's
also, Gene Chizik is looking for, he instead of looking at the right now, I think he's looking at more of the big picture, where back when you all were playing, they were just trying to, let's beat Bama. Let's beat Alabama. You know, beat Alabama, we'll keep our job. Gene Chizik just won national championship, so he know he's going to keep his job. He know Malzahn is going to try to get out of here soon. Malzahn will not be at Auburn another maybe 2 years. So I got to get this program in a direction where I can have a franchise quarterback. And Kyle Frazier, you have a franchise quarterback. In Barrett Trotter, you have a game manager. And if it has taken 3 weeks in camp and it's this close, the way that they're making it out to be, like it's close, like it's a close race, then it's a no-brainer. You play the freshman.
No, but I don't think that is. I think any coach wants to win games. I don't, you know, develop for the future with the competitive nature that they are. Every coach wants to win a game. So I think they're obviously going to go with the best man. Even if Kyle Frazier is close, he may get in some, but I mean, I don't know. We don't know, but I think if Frazier is doing that good, we would know. And we would know, like, hey, he's a front runner for a starting position. With it being so close and quiet, I feel that Barrett Trotter is doing what he's supposed to do. He knows the – I think it comes down to who coach feel most comfortable with in a game-time situation. Because I'm sure they know that Frazier has the athletic ability and the talent to be able to take over a game sometime in the future, maybe today. But I think right now, if you ask the coach, who are you most comfortable with going in the game, getting the plays, getting the signals, with the tempo of the offense, they're going to say Trotter. They're going to say Trotter, I think. Just because. I mean, they went with Chris Todd over, and we saw what Chris Todd did that year before. They went with him just because he knew what to do in his offense. I mean, I know they didn't have the same positioning that they do with who the quarterback race the way they have now, but they went with Chris Todd, a kid who'd even throw the ball in the spring because he knew what to do. We're going to take a break on Keeping It Real. We'll be back here in a minute. Talk a little more Auburn football.
To the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're back on Keeping It Real. We're speaking some Auburn football, and Rosemary is going off over here talking about these defenses. And speaking of the defenses from like 2002 or 2004, Rosemary, imagine if that those defenses with the offense that we had this past year with Cam Newton and the numbers they were putting up.
If we had that offense, oh, man, we'd probably beat people like 70-0, 70-14, like some stupid numbers. Receiver, you probably would have had 2,000 yards receiving. It would have been stupid. For real, dog. You laughing. With that offensive coordinator right there, man, with that talent we had, oh, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. What do you think about the Auburn Tigers this year with the young defense, unproven quarterback?
They're gonna lead the defense because they got everybody coming back. Just like I told you before, I told Nico to go to free safety, and he listened to me, and he went to free safety, and now he's gonna make a lot of money because he can run, and he's physical, and if he makes some plays and intercepting the ball and taking him to the crib like I think he's going to do. Watch out, folks.
Ron, Matt, what you got to say about Nico Thorpe at cornerback last year?
Oh, he's terrible at corner.
Hey, man, look, you know, I'm not going to go.
New Year, we can't talk about that. New Year, Ron, Matt.
J-Mac is really trying to set Nico Thorpe up because he know how I feel. But, I mean, this is Keeping It Real. So I'm so glad that they moved him. But
I am too.
In my opinion, you know, there are only two seniors on the defense. It's Nico Thorpe and El Toro Freeman. Okay? Honestly, in my honest opinion, if it's close, you got to play the young guy. And there is no way that Nico Thorpe is going to keep Enrique Florence off the field. There is no way. If he gets burnt or drops interceptions, Enrique Florence is a playmaker. He will be a freshman All-American this year. I think I told Jay Mack, before DeMarcus Milner went to Alabama, I told Jay Mack, I said he's going to be a freshman All-American because he's about 6'1", and he runs a legitimate sub 4.440, and he's long, and he can dunk a basketball standing up, and if you put him in an environment where they're going to teach him how to play football, he's going to be successful. DeMarcus Milner will be a high draft pick in the NFL, not this year, but after his junior year. So Enrique Florence will be a high draft pick at the safety position, and Nico Thorpe is in his way right now. Now, I experience counts for some. I do believe, as Rose Green, that the secondary will lead the defense. And that's funny because most of the people in the secondary are young guys. The defensive line is going to be atrocious in the middle. The ends are strong, and the linebackers, they're questionable. But the defensive ends and the secondary will lead this team. If somebody lines up like Marcus Lattimore them, and they're going to run right at us, like South Carolina, Alabama, and LSU, we are going to catch hell because they are going to block, and we are going to miss tackles, and we're going to get blowed off the ball in the middle of the field. But
I disagree.
But if somebody like Arkansas, who want to spread out, especially now that their running back is hurt for the year, Arkansas and Petrino, they're going to want to spread out. And when you spread out and let them corners get on the field, then get those safeties involved, then Auburn will have a chance to beat you.
Wilson, why do you disagree with that?
I disagree, Ron, man. Because we got some ferocious D linemen that's 6'4", 310, number 54. He's a youngster. And I think they got a freshman supposed to be the next Fairley. I don't think nobody ever gonna run straight at Auburn University defense and smack him in the mouth.
Well,
that never happened, Ron Mack.
Well, Julia Rose Green.
Since I've been at Auburn, that only happened one time, and when we played Arkansas.
Two times.
You ain't lying, because I came and watched Darren McFadden and Felix Jones put on the show, and Matt Jones. Now I was in the stands.
Fred Tolley went off for y'all. We beat the brakes off them. We beat the brakes off of Matt Ryan. Superman, not Matt Ryan. We beat the brakes off Superman.
Yeah.
Did we not? Matt Jones?
Yeah, I'm talking about Fred Tolley. When they said...
Well, you talking about Rogue, Fred.
I'm talking about when Fred Tolley, that's the only time when Fred Tolley had like 200 yards or something.
Man, Malzahn came with Arkansas, man, and beat Auburn with a freshman quarterback, man. Running trick play. Little Fish got the ball and went around the corner at Auburn, man. I was there.
Oh, yeah, see, I don't think we were there then. Little Fish, Rose Green might have been there.
Rose Green was there.
When
Malzahn had the freshman quarterback when he came out of high school at Arkansas.
Malzahn did go to Arkansas. Yeah, he sure did.
But anyway, like I said, man, you depending on, you talking about a 310-pound kid, number 54, he's a sophomore. You talking about him, he going to have to play 60 snaps. And a big boy like that, if he got to play more than 35 snaps, it's over with. So
you can't say that, Ron Mack. You have to see first. You remember what we just say we're going to see by Mr. Ryan Mallett before we give him any praise.
Man, Nick Fowler didn't play 60 snaps. Roll Green? So you trying to tell me that...
Listen, if he had to, he would have. When they played Oregon, Nick Fairley had to get it because he know if he don't stay on the field, Auburn do not have a chance on defense. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
I don't know. I think.
And Mr. Fairley knew that. He knew that, so that's why he kept his behind on that field.
I think it's going to be a long season for the rush defense at Auburn.
J-Mac, remember what I told you? That last year I said, we're going to have a good year. I told J-Mac. He was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Yada, yada, yada.
Who you talking about, Auburn, the team?
Yeah.
Nah, boy, I told you.
No, J-Mac, I told you.
I told you we going to be straight. No, you must be talking to somebody else, because I always say Auburn going to be straight. Like, this year, I think they're going to be straight.
What you call going to be straight, though?
What is going to be straight? They might go to the SEC championship.
Say what, Robert?
Yeah, I said that wrong, Matt. put it in your book. I said it. Junior Rose Green said that Auburn University will surprise people and go to the SEC championship.
Yeah, when you got
Mr. Gene Chizik as your commander in chief, you're gonna be all right, because he find a way to get them players to go hard. That's just like Rex Ryan. They can say what they want to say about Rex, but anybody would love to play for Rex.
I agree with that, Gene Roll Green, but playing hard, you know, and then asking people to do something that they're physically not capable of doing is two different things. And like I said, we can mog this show, and if we come back and Auburn got a dominating run stopping defense, Junior Rose Green, I sit here and I listen and I tell you, Rose, you were right. But come the second game of the year, when Auburn got to play Mississippi State, and Mississippi State got this quarterback from right here in Montgomery, Alabama, who can't throw the ball, and they're going to run the ball 50 times. And if Auburn is able to survive, because first thing you do when you run the ball on Auburn, you keep Gus Malzahn out of the game. You're going to stop Malzahn's offense by having them watch the football game. And for two, with the lack of depth on the interior of the defensive line and the lack of strength, man, it's a different – you're talking about an 18-year-old kid, man. You got freshmen that's 18 years old coming out of some high school programs where they probably weren't lifting weights the way that they were supposed to be, okay? And now you put them up against kids who've been in a college program who are redshirt seniors, or redshirt juniors, who are 22, 23 years old, and that's a hell of a big difference in strength, man. So Auburn defensive line in the middle, be prepared to get blowed off the football, because it's going to happen.
We'll see.
Now if we get up 14-0, if Auburn gets up 14-0, and now the defensive ends come into play and you can't run the ball, oh, yeah, Auburn's going to have a good year. Mm-hmm. But who's going to let Malzahn on the field, man, when Auburn can't stop the run?
Ron Mack. They haven't played not one game.
I know it.
How can you say they can't stop the run, Ron Mack?
The same way I went on to one of them little websites where they be talking smack in them little forums. I put last year Auburn would go 14-0. Folks almost laughed me out of the room. I told everybody who would listen to me, Cam Newton is the real deal, man. He should have been playing over Tebow. I told everybody who would listen. Everybody. And then everybody laughed. And then you know what? Yeah, Ron Mac, you right. I'm going to be right about this, Rose Green.
Nah, you won't be right about this, homie.
Because Auburn won't be able to stop the run.
We doubt how Auburn fans, Ron Mac.
I'm a diehard Auburn fan too, Roll Green, but I'm a realist.
I know you is. That's what I just said.
I'm a realist,
but
Roll
at
Green.
The end of the day,
I'm going to keep it real.
I'm keeping it real right now. I know defense wins championship.
And keeping it real. I say Auburn loses 2-3 games.
Two to three games?
I say 2-3 games.
Oh, J-Mac, man, if I was a betting man, I would boy, you would be buying me a $30 steak, man, because, look, man, Mississippi State's going to come to Auburn, right?
And get their tail whooped.
They might. Mississippi State almost beat Auburn with, they almost beat Auburn with Super Cam. So you going to tell me, you almost beat me, and I have,
that
I got.
That was Cam.
I think the defense was developing the offense.
Man, they would have blown Mississippi State out, man.
No, no, no. I think, listen, I think the team is going to be different. I think that the defense is going to be better than last year.
Yes.
First and foremost, the defense is going to be better.
You can't be
the offense. The offense is going to be similar to Ben Tate's senior year, where they we should put up. I don't care what happens. I don't care who at quarterback. Miles is going to put up 28, 30 points a game. Bottom
That's
line.
True. That's true. If
yeah, so I don't care. Defense is going to be better. If the defense can play somewhat the way they played against Alabama or South Carolina SEC Championship or Oregon, I think that's going to carry over, and I think that's going to be the kind of defense that we will probably have this coming season. So it's going to be a lot of games that are going to be 30-21, you know, 38-20. 38-28, but I truly believe that our defense will be better and our offense will still score. That's why I say, you know, give or take a game where, you know, whatever may happen, I think that we will still only lose, you know, two or three games. And I really believe that. Let me just say three.
Oh, can I ask you this, though? How did Mississippi State almost beat Auburn last year?
Because Cam Newton was a new quarterback in the system, and they didn't put up points.
They stopped the run, and they ran the football. And in order to stop Malzahn's offense, you can't stop him once they get on the field. But if you can go and get 4 or 5 yards of carry, like Mississippi State is going to attempt to do, like Clemson is going to attempt to do, like Arkansas, because they just lost their running back. They're going to spread the field out and play Auburn football, so you'll have another game, a high-scoring game like last year. So Mississippi State, Clemson, South Carolina, Alabama, and Florida are going to try to line up and run the ball directly at Auburn. And out of those five games, Auburn will lose at least, to me, in my opinion, I think a good year for Auburn will be 8-4. That'll be an excellent year, considering.
Ron Mac, you done bumped your damn head, and I don't mean to cuss on you, keeping it real show, but Ron Mac, you done bumped your damn head.
Okay, that's an excellent. That's with all the breaks. That's with your defense playing better. That's scoring on special teams. You know, Auburn 8-4 should be the ceiling. Any realistic fan that thinks Auburn is gonna go better than 8-4, they're not keeping it real.
I think they lose two.
Alabama and who?
I don't even say Alabama.
What about LSU, man?
Hold on. This is a thing about Alabama, too. That's what I want. That's what I want to address. These people have always rate Alabama so high. Now, first and foremost, they lost Greg McElroy. They lost their starting left tackle was a first rounder. They lost Mark Ingram. They lost they lost D Hart, their true freshman running back that's supposed to be the backup. They lost Julio Jones. I mean, that's a lot to lose and still be ranked number two in the country. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we lost Nick Fairley and Cam Newton, our two best players, two top 15, 10, top 10 picks, whatever. We did too. But I mean, and we lost some other players. We lost a lot of, you know, seniors. And they do have defense coming back. They got their secondary coming back. They got Big Dante Hightower coming back. They lost Marcell Dareus. I forgot about him on the defensive line. So they lost players just like we did, but they are ranked number two in the country. Now, yeah, they have 4 and 5 stars galore on their roster. I understand that. But for them to be ranked number two in the country, and they don't even have a proven quarterback, I mean, our backups have played probably more than their backup quarterbacks. So you go into the preseason, and everybody's gonna say Alabama this, Alabama that. When they don't have, now they do have a couple kids that were 4 or 5 stars that look good in the spring. But for the voters and people to look and be like, Alabama this, Alabama that. They Alabama don't know what they have, just like Auburn doesn't. I mean, so we can say the same thing. We can, they run defense might be doo-doo because they lost the best, probably the best interior or one of the top two interior linemen in the country last year. So we don't know. I mean, yeah, they got some kids that are there now that could probably play just as good as Marcell Dareus as they develop, but we don't know what they really have. Now, we know what Dante Hightower can do. You know, we know what Mark Barron can do. He's coming off a pictorial injury, but who knows if he's back full, you know, full health, you okay. know, full, at full strength.
I'm going to tell
they got,
you.
They got Drake Kirkpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's trying to live up to the hype that he had in high school. He's getting pretty good. We had your boy, Ron at the other corner, who's a five-star. He did pretty good last year as a freshman. He's only going to get better. Yeah, they have him.
Mm-hmm.
But they got the safety, Lester. Lester, he's coming back. So their secondary is intact. You know, a couple linebackers are there. Yeah. D-line, they lost some. So we don't know where they have on a D-line just like we don't.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the difference. The difference is the guys who are replacing Dareus for them have been at the school in the weight program for 3 years.
When Auburn
is dependent on a kid fresh out of Carver High School in Columbus, you know, that's in a little black neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Got a coach that went to Auburn, you know what I'm saying? So he might be running a decent weight room, but you're talking about kids who been in a system, who are lifting weights every day, training 365 days a year for 3 years against a kid who got to Auburn in the summertime. So, Auburn ain't going to be as ranked as high because they depending on high school defensive linemen. When these folks got, you know, dudes who've been here who was highly rated just like him,
they got same.
Now Alabama got that
stars like we got out of high school. That's starting. If you look at their roster, they got a big 300-pound DN. I think he like 6'5", 300. Out of high school, or probably JUCO or whatever.
Yeah, but he's not starting. He's in the rotation. They aren't dependent on him. At Auburn, we are dependent on freshmen coming in, playing, and making plays.
You saying, freshmen can't come and ball and make an impact?
Yeah, they can. Some of them.
It's raining. Run back. Do you want me to call out some freshman phenoms?
Name me a freshman defensive tackle that has came in and impacted any SEC football school.
Marco McNeil, DeMarco McNeil.
He redshirted.
A true freshman. Name me a true freshman who came in and on the defensive or offensive line made a difference. And I'm going to tell you why they haven't. They haven't because they aren't strong yet, man. They aren't physically strong like guys who've been in them other programs for them years, man. So, in skill position, yeah, Adrian Peterson, Mark Ingram, yeah, you know, yeah, it been skill player, Julio Jones, yeah, it been skill players who come in, and even quarterbacks who come in as freshmen and make plays. But on the defensive front, ain't no way because they aren't strong enough, Rose Green.
Hey, well, everybody entitled to their own opinion around that.
I appreciate you giving me my opinion.
I feel like Big Carter, who got some burn last year. I feel like Big Whitaker, who got some burn last year. Craig Sanders is 270. And y'all is saying he is a beast.
Man, 270 is not heavy enough, man.
275, 280. He can get in there and get a pass rush, or he can get in there and hold his own.
Yeah, but what's going
on? At the end?
At tackle. 270 is not big enough, J. Mack.
J. Rodden was 270 when we won. We went
13-0. Man, Jay Riley ain't started playing good football until he got to the league. Jay Riley was okay at Auburn. He wasn't no All-American. Jay Ratliff was not an All-American. Jay Ratliff didn't get good until he got to Dallas.
He wasn't an All-American, Ron Mack. But he played good enough to help us win. He did his thing in that middle. I can say he did his thing in the middle, but you got to realize he came from defensive end, then he played tight end. He played a lot of positions, so it's kind of different, Ron, man.
All I know is if you're a true Auburn fan like myself, like you guys on the phone, for you to expect Auburn to, you know, repeat as national championship.
No, I didn't say that, Ron, man.
If you expect Auburn to come close.
If they repeat as for the national championship, great.
But I said they're going to have a growing year. You said y'all sitting on the phone with me telling me Auburn gonna go 10-2 and Auburn play Florida, Alabama, LSU, Clemson.
You're talking like Florida just, man, what Florida got? Nothing.
Florida got gonna have a good offensive system.
And
Florida's gonna have better players and more proven players on defense than Auburn.
I don't agree. I disagree.
Yeah.
Auburn fans, Auburn alumni, do y'all hear him?
Hey, listen, we out of here on Keeping It Real. Next week we'll be speaking more Auburn football, talking more Auburn football, and we're going to keep it going all year long. Them Auburn Tigers are going to be 10-2 right back in the ATL, shawty. We out of here.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jarris McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.